After that, it all happened very quickly. She would learn that with Sean Courtney, this was always the way. She remained only 5 more days at the monastery, but in that time the German breakthrough at Mortomme was contained by dour, bloody fighting. And once the line was stabilised and reinforced, Sean Courtney had a few hours each day to spare for her. They dined together every evening, and he answered her endless questions about Africa and its people and animals, about the Courtney family and its members, with good-natured patience. Mostly they spoke English, but when at a loss for a word, Santin lapsed into Flemish again. Then, at the end of the meal, she would prepare his cigar and light it for him, pour his cognac, and then perch beside him, talking still, until Anna came to fetch her, or Sean was summoned to the operations room. Then she would come to him, and hold up her face for his kiss with such a childlike innocence that Sean found himself dreading the approaching hour of her departure. John Pierce brought their nursing uniforms to Santin and Anna. The white veils and the white cross straps of the apron were worn over a blue-grey dress, and Santin and Anna made the finer adjustments themselves, their needles giving a touch of French flair to the baggy, shapeless outfits. Then it was time to leave, and Sangane loaded their meagre baggage into the rolls, and Sean Courtney came down the cloisters, gruff and stern with the pain of leave-taking. "Look after her," he ordered Anna, and Anna glowered at him in righteous indignation at this gratuitous advice.
"I will be at the docks to meet you when you come home," Santin promised him, and Sean scowled with embarrassment and pleasure when she went up on tiptoe to kiss him in front of his staff. He watched the rolls pull away with a girl waving at him through the back window, then roused himself and rounded on his staff.
"Well, gentlemen, what are we all gawking at? We're fighting a war here, not conducting a bloody Sunday school picnic." And he stopped back down the cloisters, angry at himself, already feeling the girl's absence so painfully.